I'm Mark Bayshore. Thank you for joining us today. Republican Tom Leonard is serving his second term representing Michigan's 93rd District, covering Clinton County and much of Gratiot County. The DeWitt Township resident serves as chair of the House Insurance Committee and previously served as a Genesee County prosecutor. Last week, he voted to support a package of House bills to rescue the Detroit public schools. Those measures have generated heated debate in recent days. We welcome Tom Leonard back to Current State. Thank you for being here.
Mark, good morning, and thank you so much for having me. I think it's been almost 3 years.
Way too long. I've tried time and time again to get you in here, and we finally, the stars finally aligned.
I know, and I think my lovely bride's been here 3 or 4 times since the last time I was
That's
here,
right.
So I'm glad to be here.
That's right. We're glad to have you. I want to get your take on the DPS funding measure, which you endorsed with your vote last Thursday when it passed the House. The House measure does not include a Detroit Education Commission.
It does not.
Which supporters say would help restore much-needed order to school openings and closings in Detroit. How do you respond to people who say that's really important?
Well, first, and I sat with Mayor Duggan on this issue. I know he was a big supporter of the DEC. And for me personally, I had two serious issues with this. First was I felt that it was going to get in the way of parental choice and would create an environment whereby charters would not be able to open, where they would be shut down. And I did express those concerns to him. But also, this thing, what would happen after a Mayor Duggan is gone? This man has done a great job for the city. If he runs for re-election, I believe by 2021, he will be out of office. I do fear what would happen when a Mayor Duggan's gone and this DEC is still in effect. So for me, this was about preserving parental choice and ensuring that would stay firm.
What would the inclusion of an education commission have been a deal breaker for you?
It would have been for me. Absolutely. This was something, again, and it was an issue that I studied long and hard. I looked at both sides of the issue. In fact, I actually had a dinner with Mayor Duggan. He came to my office for about 45 minutes on another date, looked at it. But again, at the end of the day, I had serious concerns about the way that this DEC would squeeze out parental choice in Detroit, and it certainly would have been a deal breaker for me.
Now, supporters of the commission also emphasize that without eliminating weak performing charters and weak public schools as well, it just keeps more ineffective schools in operation doing a poor job, and that it increases the chances of continued insolvency. Shouldn't somebody have the authority to stop schools that are not performing well?
Well, and I'm glad that you mentioned that, because we ensured that that was part of the reforms that we passed last week. As part of these reforms, there would be an A through F grading system, which would apply to both charters, and it would apply to the DPS public schools. And if schools were failing for 3 consecutive years, those schools could and would be shut down. And that would include both charters and the public schools. We applied it broadly across the board with the reforms that we put in place last week.
There are cynics out there who say that this bailout is destined to be followed by yet another bailout. Do you think that whatever measure Governor Snyder signs, assuming he signs a measure, that whatever measure is passed will help restore long-term stability to the district? Or do you fear those cynics might be right, that this bailout is just destined to be followed by another one?
No, I believe it will work, or else I wouldn't have voted for it. We have to understand this was
long-term, though.
Correct.
It will work long-term, you think?
I do believe it will work long-term. We have to understand this was 40, 50 years in the making. And many folks like to look at this situation. In fact, in my district, I have coffee hours once a month, and this is probably the number one hot topic issue that comes up, because people want to know, why are we sending more money to Detroit, particularly Detroit public schools? And when we look at this issue, we have to see this. This is not a Detroit versus the rest of the state. We are all in this together. Constitutionally, we owe every child in this state a free public education. Moreover, they are part of the MPSERS teacher retirement system, which means if Detroit goes bankrupt and they go belly up, it's not going to be just DPS. It's going to affect all the schools in my district. Now, I explain this to my constituents, all of my schools are on the lowest end for the per pupil foundation allowance, about $7,300 per pupil. If DPS goes belly up, we very well could be on the hook for $3.5 billion in debt and liability. I looked at the numbers on that, and that comes out to anywhere between $1,100 and $2,200 per pupil throughout the state. That is a cut that my schools simply could not afford to take. So when we look at this, we have to understand we are in this all together. And again, I believe we put proper reforms in place to ensure that we are not going to be in this position years down the road. The main thing was making certain that DPS will be put under a financial review commission, much like we put the city under when we put the city through bankruptcy. They are going to have to demonstrate 10 consecutive balanced budgets before they can get from under that review or that financial review commission. If at any time in that 10 years they do not have a balanced budget, they go back and start to square one. So I do believe the proper reforms are put in place. I do believe this is going to work, but certainly we had to do something.
Our guest today on Current State, Republican State Representative Tom Leonard of DeWitt, representing Michigan's 93rd District. I know Mayor Duggan felt very strongly about this after the House measure passed. He was pretty upset. A lot of other people were, in part, I think, because you didn't have any representatives from Detroit support the measure. And Mayor Duggan says that whatever the governor signs should have support from Detroiters. How important is that?
Well, unfortunately, I do not believe the Detroit caucus and the House of Representatives, I can't speak for the Senate, but I can speak for in the House of Representatives, I do not believe they in good faith wanted to come to the table and solve this situation. Mm. They continued to move the goalpost, and as Speaker Cotter had mentioned on the floor, they had moved the goalpost so far, I don't even think Ford Field could contain how far it had moved. It seemed like every time we gave them what they wanted the EAA shut down. As part of this solution, the EAA is shut down. They were not happy with the original $30 million that we passed for startup costs a couple weeks ago. We increased that to $150 million to give them more for startup costs. They were not happy with that. I believe, in my heart of hearts, I believe there were some folks on the other side of the aisle that were playing politics with this, and they wanted to see it go into bankruptcy so that they could look at getting either more money or they would have an issue to play with in November. That's just wrong.
It is unquestionably a politically charged issue. Critics continually argue that this illustrates the unacceptable influence that charter school lobbies and supporters have in the legislature, underwritten invariably by the DeVos family. The DeVos family always comes up in this debate. This gets people really worked up. How do you respond to those critics?
You know, I think it's sad that we want to continue to pick on a family who have dedicated their lives to bettering this state. They have put a lot of time, a lot of effort to ensuring that there's parental choice in the city of Detroit. They put a lot of time and a lot of effort to ensure that children can get out of a failing school system if they have to. So the fact that we demonize these folks is just wrong. These are people that care just as much about this state as anybody else. And again, these reforms, we put them into place to ensuring that parental choice would remain in the city of Detroit.
I do want to move on beyond the DPS here, but it is such a hot topic right now. Let me just ask you about where you think the House measure is going. What do you think the Senate will do to it, number one? And number two, what kind of measure do you think Governor Snyder will end up signing here? Will he need an education commission before he signs this, or do you fear he will not sign the House measure?
That is a very good question. I do not know what the Senate's going to do. Hopefully they will take it up and get it passed this week. In regards to the governor, I do know that he supports a DEC, but I believe, and I may be wrong, but I believe publicly he has stated that it's not a deal breaker for him, that he could get over that and get this signed. You know, he understands how important it is to ensure that DPS does not go bankrupt.
He appears, reading between the lines of his comments, it appears he seems to be saying he would prefer an education commission, but a half a loaf is better than none. That's what I take from his comments. Do you take something similar or something different?
I take that he wants to ensure that DPS does not go bankrupt. That would be absolutely tragic. Again, if we are on the hook for the $3.5 billion in debt and liabilities and that goes in front of a bankruptcy judge, that would affect every single school district in the state of Michigan. And that is something that we simply cannot have. Again, that would cost my schools anywhere from $1,100 to $2,200 per pupil. I believe that's exactly what the governor's looking at.
You referred to constituents of yours having the Detroit school issue top of mind as you travel around. Is that the issue you hear most from in Clinton and Gratiot counties?
It does. And when I have my coffee hours, it's probably the top issue that comes up within the first 5 or 10 minutes. And again, going back to what I had said previously, a lot of it is having to explain and educate why it is that we need to send this money to Detroit to ensure that they don't go bankrupt. There are so many folks in my district that are just tired of sending money to Detroit. But when you explain to them that we are all in this together, when you explain to them that legally we are on the hook for those pension liabilities, when you explain that constitutionally we have a duty to ensure that those kids are educated, they're fine with sending the money, but they want to ensure that there's protections in place to make certain that we're not in this position again 10, 15, 20 years down the road.
You worked in Genesee County for several years as one of the county prosecutors, grew up not too far north of Flint in Montrose, Michigan. As a former resident and public employee in Genesee County, I'm really curious to hear your thoughts on the water crisis, especially with regard to culpability and the government's response.
Yeah, absolutely tragic, a very sad situation, and something that we certainly need to make right. And when the legislature found out, we immediately, within days, we passed a $10.5 million supplemental to get the Flint residents hooked back onto the Detroit Water Authority. We subsequently passed, I believe, and it's been several months, but I believe it was a $50 or $60 million supplemental to ensure that we had National Guards troops on the ground to ensure that we were purchasing water filters. In this current budget, I believe we're looking at $170 million for appropriations for Flint. So something we are certainly taking very seriously here in the legislature. And to Governor Snyder's credit, I believe he's the only person that has actually stepped up and took responsibility for this and said he was wrong. This was a colossal failure all the way from the local unit of government, all the way through and up to the federal level of government. We have to remember, it was the Flint City Council that voted to go away from a perfectly good water authority. They were the ones that made this decision. Then it was a financial manager that actually ratified the decision that the locals made. So at the end of the day, it was the locals that made this decision to leave a perfectly good water system and go to this water system that was bringing water out of the Flint River. And again, to his credit, the governor is the only person that I have seen has actually stood up and taken responsibility for this. I've got to give him credit for that.
Let's talk a little bit more politics. The presidential election—it's an extraordinary run-up to the presidential election here in November. Are you a Trump supporter, or are you a part of the anti-Trump community?
No, I will be supporting him. I will be voting for him. In the primary, he was not my guy. I was a strong John Kasich supporter. In fact, I was the statewide co-chair along with Arlen Meekoff for John Kasich's presidential campaign. Unfortunately, my guy came up a little bit short, and I will be supporting our party's nominee.
More Republicans who were, like not unlike yourself, who were originally hesitant to endorse Donald Trump or support him, are falling in line. Do you expect Republican anti-Trump sentiment to continue to go down, or could it continue to be a really important issue in the run-up to the election in November?
At the end of the day, I believe they will get in line. I believe they will support him because we cannot have another 4 years of the last eight that we've had with Barack Obama. And that's what we get with Hillary Clinton. I was watching a TV show yesterday. She could not even give a straight answer as to whether or not she believes there's a constitutional right to keep and bear arms. As you know, the Supreme Court is in complete flux right now. It's essentially four and four, and we have a huge election ahead that's going to shape the direction of this country for probably generations to come. That's why I can get behind Donald Trump. I know what I'm going to get with Hillary Clinton. It's not going to be good, and I would certainly much rather have the alternative.
One final question. Update us, please, on this measure you've been at work on for some time. This involves assistance for people with mental illness, House Bill 4674. What does it do?
This would bring much-needed reforms to Kevin's Law that was put into place probably about 10 years ago. The way I would describe Kevin's Law is essentially a home that was built without windows and doors. So the foundation is there, but unfortunately it's uninhabitable. It hasn't been useful because of the way it was put together. We want to make certain that there's earlier intervention for those that are suffering from mental health issues. Right now, we can't get to people soon enough. We can't get them the help that they need soon enough. And we need to ensure that we are getting them that help before they tragically go off and hurt themselves or hurt somebody else. So that's what we're working to do. I think we will get it done. It's currently sitting in the Health Policy Committee in the Senate, working with Senator Shirky on this, but hopefully something we will get done in the next several months.
Republican State Representative Tom Leonard of DeWitt Township. He represents Michigan's 93rd District. Many thanks for joining us today.
Mark, thank you so much. Appreciate it.